Hi, everyone, and welcome to Focus Forward, an executive function podcast where we explore the challenges and celebrate the wins you'll experience as you change your life through working on improving your executive function skills. I'm your host, Hannah Choi.
My colleague Ira Lawson and I will be leading a free public map planning session on Monday, July 21st at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, to share our motivation and productivity program with more people. Come join us to make a solid plan to get a task that you've been putting off finally done, and you can learn more about how amazing MAP is, in addition to our daily interactive live sessions for planning and accountability. We have work sprints for virtual co-working and skill building interactive workshops that are both guided by executive function experts, and an online community to share ideas and ask for help and connect with others. You can find the link to the demo in the show notes, or you can find it on our MAP website, map.worksmartcoaching.com. You can also shoot me an email at podcast@beyondbooksmart.com, and I can help you out that way. In this episode, I had three experts come on the show, but they're not the typical experts I have on Focus Forward. I got to sit down with three incredible teenagers, Eliza, Mark, and Sam, to talk honestly about conflict and how to manage it between teens and adults. This episode is one I've been wanting to do for so long, and I'm thrilled to finally be able to bring it to you today. We covered everything from communication styles to what it feels like to be misunderstood, and even how trust is built or broken during tricky conversations. And of course, I couldn't not mention EF skills, so you'll hear me comment here and there on how key executive function skills like self-regulation, flexible thinking, and perspective taking show up in real life and impact us during conflict and resolution. Listen to learn from these teens about the importance of creating space for mistakes and learning, and how trust is the answer. We have to work to trust them, and they have to work to trust us. It's a hard journey that we're all making together. These teens were thoughtful, vulnerable, and wise beyond their years. I think you'll walk away with some valuable insight and maybe even have a few moments of, ooh, yeah, I've done that as a parent or teacher. I know I experienced this multiple times during this conversation. But as we've heard from Ellen Galinsky, Narissa Bauer, Ken Ginsberg, and others, as we heard them say, it is never too late to make a difference in how you interact with your kids. Okay, so let's get on with the show. Hey guys, thanks for coming to Focus Forward. So happy to have you here today. Why don't we go around the room? Oh, wait. Listeners, this is super exciting. This is the first time I am ever recording in person. We are at our public library recording in the back secret rooms of the library that we didn't even know existed. So, and I am here with three of my favorite people. And why don't you go around the room and introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Eliza. I'm 16 years old, and I'm going to be a junior this upcoming school year.
Hey everyone, my name is Mark. I am also 16 and I am going to be a senior this year.
Hello everybody, I'm Sam. I'm 17 and I'm also going to be a senior this year.
Great. All right, so now you guys have heard their voices. And one thing that is very cool about these kids is that you guys all go to school together, and you also are all in a youth orchestra together. And so one of the reasons why I chose you guys is because you know each other. So I thought having a conversation about, you know, potentially, difficult topic is probably easier with people that you know. So welcome. Thank you for coming. And for anyone who doesn't know, Eliza is my daughter. Oh, all right. So today we are going to talk about resolving conflicts between teens and adults. And I was telling Eliza in the car on the way over, the reason I said adults is because, and not parents, is because sometimes we, as teens, we might find ourselves in a conversation with an adult who is not our parent. And I recalled an experience I had in high school where I was going to go on a field trip to, like, as a chaperone type of person. And I had one of my teachers accost me in the hallway, and she basically like shoved me up against the wall and told me that I could not go and that if I went, she was going to fail me. And in that moment, I had no idea what to do. I had no idea what to do. I ended up telling her, "Oh, I'm going anyway." But it just reminded me of sometimes that conflict between teens is not always just with parents. So, all right. So think about your own communication style, and when you're upset or frustrated, or maybe when, you know, there's something that might be difficult to talk about. So does anybody want to go first?
I could start. So I try to be very honest and up forward with things, because I used to be very, I bottled things up and I wouldn't communicate. And that just led to like resentment towards adults, sometimes my parents. And I found that learning to be honest about things has helped resolve conflicts so much better.
Yeah, very interesting. So I'm kind of the opposite. I tend to shut down in those types of situations. And usually the people involved in the conflict, adults, never tend to really know what's going on inside my head. And I usually leave it reserved. And I usually take on a very, like, I guess, sullen and a very, like, straight face, like, almost, like, lacking emotion. And then the people that will find out about my true feelings, usually, like, my friends at night when I'm texting them late at night, and they'll really see the true side of me. So I tend to keep it all, I do the exact opposite of what Sam does. I tend to bottle it up and share it with other people who I think will better understand me in the moment.
Yeah, I think that with myself, I like can vary between the two, kind of really like depending on my comfort level with that person. I think in general, though, I tend to think about my response before I say anything back to them, just out of fear that I say something like too far or something like that. So sometimes with people, if I just like really don't feel comfortable with them, I won't want to initiate any sort of like, I guess, conflict with them. But then with other people, like such as my parents, it can be a little easier to like respond, try to figure out how they see things and things like that.
It's kind of interesting how you meant like thinking the things in your head. When especially in times of conflict, I usually have a very strong like inner monologue in my head, and it's usually things I could never say out loud, and it's things that can never be repeated. So I'm just sitting there with a blank face and a blank stare, and my mind is like running like rampant with a million things going on, things that I wish I could say, but nothing that would ever be like socially acceptable or like permitted because of the consequences for what I was saying.
Yeah.
I can really relate to your experience. That's how I was as a child and still struggle with as an adult. I was just telling Eliza on the way over that I feel like as an adult, I'm trying to break a lot of the habits that I had as a kid and start to be more like Sam and be more honest and open. But it's wicked hard. It's really hard. Yeah. So, Sam, what prompted you? How did you realize that? How did you come to that conclusion? And also, most importantly, how did you make that switch?
Well, the switch hasn't like fully happened, but
we're all works in progress.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
And I kind of realized that I really wanted to change when I was talking to my parents about something at school, like my grades or two grades fell and they were blaming me. And I never told them the real reason for it. And it took me a couple of months to realize like, hey, I should probably tell them why that happened. And me just being up forward with them helped them understand like what was going on in school and some stuff about me that was kind of holding me back and making me uncomfortable with telling them the truth.
Wow. Yeah. And so that experience, what did they do in that experience that gave you the confirmation that this was a more helpful way of approaching things?
Well, after I had been truthful, they were like, oh, and they understood me, so I was like, this is how I should be. I shouldn't hold things back. And being truthful will, I say, always be better than like hiding things from parents.
Yeah. So what do you think, Mark? Are we going to convince you by the end of this conversation?
Maybe. I think a big thing about telling the truth is understanding that there won't be consequences with the truth. And I think depending on like what happened, if you like, I get not wanting to go into the specifics, but knowing that your parents were not going to punish you for what happened in the past and understanding that it was a truly a safe space, I think that allows for the foundation for an even stronger relationship, especially when teenagers, as like most do, they screw up. So understanding that there's like room to screw up in a relationship, whether it be with adults or parents, understanding that it truly is a safe space, and rather than being punished, grounded, or facing extreme consequences for your actions, for like a momentary lapse of judgment, that there's room to like grow and improve from that moment, I think is like a really big thing. And I think that can honestly lead to more honesty.
So what can, so expand on that. So can you think of some examples, or maybe give some examples of what you either wish adults would do or what adults have done for you to make you feel like it's a safe space?
My parents often say that there's like no consequences for telling the truth. And I do believe them to a certain extent. And I just think sometimes no matter what you do, it's, there'll either be a loss of trust because what the actions, even though you are opening up to them and telling them the truth, it's sometimes hard to like gain that trust back, knowing what the kid did or doing whatever they happened and the consequences there. So it's like finding that environment to truly create a safe space. So maybe you do like a, you mess up a little bit, you tell them the truth, and you like, you see that their actions truly reflect that there were no consequences. Rather, there was a lesson that they tried to teach you there, so that, not saying it's a good thing that you have a bigger screw up, but if it happens and there is a bigger screw up, you know that in the past that their actions reflected that there are no consequences. We're just glad that you came forward and told us the truth. I think that's a very important thing. So understanding that the things that they say do have meaning behind them, rather than the words just being like empty promises, I think is a big thing.
Yeah, definitely. I think that one of like the biggest differences that you can find in parenting is someone's response to their child like doing something wrong or whatever. I feel like the two like general main ideas that parents have is either going the way Mark is saying, where it's like, you're telling me the truth, like you messed up, it's okay, we're all learning, or the almost opposite of that, where they're just immediately like, without thinking, they're getting so angry. It's like they forget that this is, you're just growing up, you're trying, you don't, I mean, yes, of course, sometimes people make mistakes and they know that it's wrong, but we're also all just growing up, you know, we're all just trying to do our best. And then I've found that in a lot of my friends' parents, they don't have this sense of trust between them, like in their relationship, where they feel comfortable to go to them about something like that if they messed up. And then that just further creates an environment where there's no trust between them, and it creates resentment and all that. And I think that's something that like the generation of parents, I think it's something that they can really work on. And then as teens grow up and maybe become parents in our generation, something that they should really emphasize.
I think that's very interesting, pointing out how like the different parents react to different things. It's interesting, just as Eliza pointed out, like even in seeing your own different, or in my like own friend group, there's one of my closest friends, she feels that there should be no secrets with her parents, and they their reward for no secrets is giving her ample amounts of trust. But their other daughter does not like have that same level of sharing the truth, so that daughter tends to face more consequences than my close friend, just because they don't have that like open and communicative dialogue, which really creates boundaries in the relationship. So when they find out about the other daughter and bad things happen, they can't go to her and say like, well, this is what we should have done, whereas my close friend, they have an opportunity to like sit down, understand, and really have a meaningful conversation about why that happened and what in that moment decided to like her to make that action. So like creating that like open trust and open dialogue, even just in like one parent, just understanding that like almost a duality between the two things, how one has such a strong like open relationship while the other is more like closed off and reserved, just the level of trust between the two daughters is vastly different, just because of how open each one of them is.
Yeah, that's so, and that's such a great example of how even within the same family, the children came from the same parents, but they still have a completely different interaction. So like Eliza, I'll put you on the spot. Like I feel like in general, we have a, I think, I feel like you, I've noticed you will come to me and tell me something.
Yes.
And I have worked really, really hard to try to receive the information that you're telling me without judgment.
Yeah.
And try to see like your perspective. Mm-hmm. And I just have to say, as a parent, it's very difficult. And it's also really wonderful when you put the effort in and do it,
yeah,
because it leads to a more trusting, open conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really hard. It's really hard.
So for me, I am like a pretty private person, I generally consider myself. So even with like you guys, my parents, who I'm like so close with, right? Like known you for 16 years, but like it can be hard still to be honest just because of my own personality. And then the other thing that goes into that is I myself am kind of like a judgy person. So I assume that others are the same level of judginess back at me. So it can be hard to have that kind of conversation and to understand that there's like little to no judgment happening just because of the way I see things. But like, I understand, of course, that you are trying like very hard to not have any judgment, that sort of thing. But it all, I mean, of course, it's just hard because it's like, it's just a difficult conversation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you want something, if you are in like a, you know, if you want to have a conversation with your parents about maybe like getting a later curfew or, you know, adding in some kind of additional freedom, what can you bring to the conversation, and what do you hope your parents bring to the conversation to allow that to end up being satisfactory to both people?
I could speak on this because up until about sophomore year of high school, I had an 8 o'clock bedtime.
Oh, so. That's so cute. I'm sorry.
8 o'clock is crazy.
Bedtime? So cute. Uh-huh.
As in, like, in bed, phone away at 8 p.m.?
Yep.
Thank like you for sharing asleep. That, Sam. That's so cute.
Yeah,
you must
I would
have been
always,
very well rested.
I was. That was actually some... That was a huge benefit of that.
Your parents like knew what they were doing.
You must be getting so much sleep then.
Okay, so I take it you don't go to bed anymore as a rising senior. I mean, you don't go to bed at 8 o'clock anymore as a rising senior.
I do not
senior.
Have a bedtime anymore.
Oh, you don't even have a bedtime. Wow. Congratulations.
Improvements.
So how did that change?
I had, I was like, hey, mom, dad, why am I going to bed at 8? Everyone else doesn't have a bedtime. They're staying up. They could play games together. They could hang out. Why do I have to go to bed? And they were just like, it's the best for you. You need sleep. You're growing, which I understood, but I wanted more opportunities to do stuff with friends that I like spending time with. So I was like, I want to stay up later. And when I asked them another reason why I couldn't, it was like, they believed that if I was staying up so late, my grades would just be bad, or maybe I would start changing mentally because I wasn't getting enough sleep, which in a way I did, but not in a negative way.
You
I'd
now
say.
Rob banks.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So in order to have that, like, in order to make it so that they were comfortable letting me stay up later until now where I don't really have a bedtime, I promised them that I'd still do my best in school. I would still do my homework. I would not, like, let myself slip. And showing them that I have still been putting up an effort in school, maintaining my good grades, pushing myself harder in music, that's kind of allowed them to see that I can stay up later and it's not going to, like, cause me to just fall off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that one of the biggest things that parents like tend to have a lack of focus on is the idea that, I mean, for everyone, but especially teens, the the only aspect of your health is not like your physical health, or the only aspect of your life is not your grades. Like having good social like interactions, having a good support system, good like mental health, these things are all so important. They're just as important as like your grades or whatever, how much sleep you're getting. And then so when like adults or parents tend to have a lack of focus on these other things and just say, you need to have good grades, you need to, I don't know, like eat well, like sleep well, like that's it. It's really like taking away like really important parts of life for, I mean, everyone, but especially teens, like as they're growing up to like find who they are, have a good, like have good people they can be around. Like it's just something that should really be emphasized, I think.
And I think that it's almost like punitive. It's like almost a punitive punishment that you're not doing that. I think I'm pretty good at like regulating my abilities to balance a very like heavy academic life and a very social life. And I really struggle when people tell me no when I can't go out socially, because I work very hard in school and I will always put school before me going out like the night before an SAT. I refuse to go out even if there's like a party. And I think it's hard for like adults to like realize that we ourselves as teens have like our own priorities too, and a part of like just living the teenage life is going out and socializing and learning to find the balance in our lives. And sometimes they don't think that we can balance it, but I think teenagers are probably some of the best people at balancing like everything that we do, especially the three of us. If you look at us, we're in two or three different orchestras, we've done musicals, we're in AP classes, honors classes, and we are very active outside of school in almost like everything that we do, and we all still manage to have extremely strong social lives and have really good circles. It's, to me, it's almost a punitive punishment to say, oh no, you can't go out on your Friday, Saturday. Why? But even though we all clearly reflect that we are able to get things done in a timely manner. And I usually myself say I can't go out on Sundays just because that's a day where I need to get work done for myself. And that's how I look at it. So I deserve like the freedom to go out Fridays and Saturdays just because of everything else that I do. And it's like my break from like the intensity that I put on myself. And that's like a moment to like recharge mentally and be with friends who care about me, let me open up. We do crazy things. We do karaoke and just have like a fun time. And it creates the environment where you're able to thrive.
It's so important. And actually, the research shows that it truly is important for teens to spend time with their friends. Having a sense of belonging and being part of something like that is hugely important for positive outcomes. So I'm so glad you mentioned that. As a parent, it can be really difficult to trust you guys that you are managing things. But I think, like Sam said, you know, you had to prove to them, you showed them that you could handle staying up, you know, later. And then your parents obviously took the new information that they had, where you were proving that to them, and then changed their opinion and said, okay, now you can stay up till later.
Yeah. I really think it's all about like evidence. Like what, if can you live up to your promises? Can you do what you said you would be able to do? And of course, maybe there's like one occasion, two occasions where you don't. But that's okay. That's just mistakes and everyone makes those, right? But if in general you can consistently say that you are able to, like as Mark says, like said, like balance these things, keep everything together, then parents should be able to trust that and you should be able to trust it as well.
Yeah, and it can be so hard, I think, on both sides to, you know, like you said, make a mistake. Okay, so let's look at that. Okay, all right, it's a mistake, right? So, but what actually can we learn from it? And when we as parents give teens an opportunity to learn from when they've messed up, it is, instead of, like you said, Mark, just being punished, let's use this as an opportunity to reflect. Ooh, another executive function skill, metacognitive thinking. Think about what happened, what didn't work, what worked pretty well, and what are we going to do different next time? And it can be so boring having to get a life lesson out of a mistake. Like, oh, God, you want me to learn from all these mistakes? But that actually is how we become, you know, the people that we are today. So what is there anything else that parents can do for teens to help them feel more confident approaching them about challenges? I mean, I said parents, I guess also adults. You know, what can parents and adults do to make that an easier transition? And also, what can teens do?
Mm-hmm. I think that really creating a space where it is, where it's normal and very comfortable to not admit something, but tell a parent or an adult something that may be a little bit hard to say, like you're a little fearful of the outcome of it. And I think one way, and there's like a fine line if parents do this between being like too judgmental, but then also creating this open space, is they can try to like ask, just like, is like there anything you want to talk about? But the issue with that is it can come off as almost like, oh, you're in trouble. Like, you know what you did. You better talk to me. But I just know from my own personal experience, it can be really hard to just like out of nowhere say, hey, guess what? I have to tell you this, right? But so there's, you just have to try. You have to know that you're going at this with an open mind. You're doing this without judgment and just creating this like open conversation where both like parties know that it's okay to tell what happened. And you're like not going to be punished for that is really important.
What do you think about tone of voice and also the words that they say?
I think that you just have to really try your hardest not to use any sort of like accusatory tone. Cause I think like adults are kind of used to using that kind of tone with teenagers because there's like the idea that teenagers are just these like menaces to society really, but like in reality I don't think that's the case at all. I think teenagers are just people who have been given more freedom and they're just trying to figure out how to be the best person they can be. And I mean, of course that results in mistakes sometimes, but everyone makes mistakes. But yeah, I really think making sure you're not being accusatory, not saying any words like what made you think that you could do this? Like that kind of words and that kind of tone really like creates like a dialogue of like blame. Like, this is only your fault. How dare you do this? And I think that's something that teenagers and like everyone is really afraid of. Having that kind of like that attack creates a lot of shame, I think. Yeah,
I think the point of shame is really important. I think to create that like open dialogue, there should be a place where you feel completely unjudged for your actions, no matter how bad they could be. And I know sometimes they should be, but it's like, as a person you're going to, as like a trusted adult, you should feel unjudged in that moment. And then think in the future, then that's a moment to reflect. But in the moment when you're confessing or being honest, that should be a judgment-free zone. Just a moment where they can open up, let it all out on the table. And then if you can't even talk about it that night, wait until the next day so you can come back with like a clearer head level and have something honest and, I think powerful is the right word, but something that will have like a meaningful impact on both parties rather than just reacting in the moment and lashing out. I think a moment to breathe is always something very important that I think really facilitates a strong, like, open dialogue.
It's actually true. If you think about, you're going to laugh, but if you think about how our brains work, if we are really angry and emotional, it is going to be harder for us to use our executive function skills. So it's going to be harder for us to take someone else's perspective. It's going to be harder for us to think flexibly and come up with like an alternative solution. It's going to be harder for us to, pause and not say something that we shouldn't say. So they always say like, don't go to bed angry, but I actually think it's okay sometimes to do that. You know, like you said, you know, wait till the next day, wait for a little bit if you need to. And then address it again later when everybody's emotions have kind of simmered down a little bit. But for people who are very impulsive and reactive, that can be really difficult.
Yeah. I recently had an experience with a friend where they said something that like made me a little I guess upset and just like a little like angry, I guess. But then I knew that they were like having a rough time at that moment. So even though it like hurt me that they said that, I just like took a break. I paused and I tried to think about, while still acknowledging that my feelings were valid and that what I was thinking, it's not like wrong or anything, but I was trying to think from their perspective, like what, how could they be feeling right now? How could, how might they be just dealing with what they're dealing with right now? And then trying to just think about like, okay, that makes sense. They're not really mad at me. They're just mad because they've got a lot going on right now. And I know this is not with like an adult, but I think teenagers and adults can have these kind of like interactions a lot, where it's just like you need to see things from both sides, but you also need to recognize like your feelings aren't inherently wrong. Especially for teens, I feel like we're told a lot that like your feelings are wrong. Like you don't know enough yet to know what's right or what's wrong, but like, I don't know. I feel like feelings can't really be wrong. They're just feelings. So you just need to acknowledge, okay, I see what you're seeing. I see what I'm seeing. And just like, you know, think about it and move on from there.
So Dr. Kenneth Ginsberg wrote a book called Lighthouse Parenting. And in it, he says that teens are the experts in their own lives. And that when adults can see that, it can help us trust you guys. So what do you guys think about that statement?
And I totally agree with it, actually. I think I pointed it out before. I think I live a very busy life, and I think I do a very good job of just like maintaining my own thing, as long as like basically no one disrupts like kind of the flow I've created for myself. I do a very good job balancing everything that I have going on. Leave me alone to do my homework, leave me alone to practice, leave me alone to get to work, leave me alone to do kind of like everything. I think I'm a relatively self-sufficient person, and I think a lot of teens might feel the same way, that they're able to live their life without being like micromanaged by any like adults or individuals in their lives. And the more that they try to intervene, it actually makes it harder for them to succeed and thrive, because you're breaking up, I think, the monotony that they've created for themselves on purpose. Because routine is something I think everybody needs in their life, whether they'd like to admit it or not. There's little things in their lives like that they just do instinctively that they need. So leaving at a specific time before they go to events, or and then but have feeling delayed by someone else, or understanding that you can make your own meals, or understanding that you can put away your own dishes or do the chores that you need to do without being reminded. It's understanding that we have like our own little checklist in our brain of what we need to get done, and like a priority list. And I think understanding that we are completely fine on our own. And I know that can be hard for parents, especially because it's for the longest time, basically up into high school, like parents have had to micromanage their children because they have to. They don't understand. They can't do things on their own. They can't go anywhere. It's everything needs to be dictated by them. But once, especially I think in high school, kids reach this level of maturity where they understand, well, soon the parents aren't going to be as big of a picture in their life. So they need to basically pony up and figure out how to live their life semi on their own, and figure out, what do I need to do for myself? And I think that's a big jump in maturity, especially when you go into high school. And even going back to the teachers, I think as you get older, you see a lot of them assume that you're more self-sufficient. So they assume, they kind of leave you to your own devices to get what you need to get done. So some people are great procrastinators and they can do it at the last minute. That's not me whatsoever, but they're able to do it the last hour and do great. And I think someone telling them that they need to get it done a week before, it's just not healthy for them. They're able to succeed in that high level of stress that their body's put onto. And while it may not necessarily be the most healthy for them, if they're able to do it and successfully do it every single time, I say if it works for them, just keep letting them do it. And anyone who's trying to manipulate or like break that routine for them really, I guess, like puts like a turn in the road, I think is the best way of describing it. So just understanding that teenagers have their own devices to live their own lives, and they are able to manage their schedules. They're, notice kids, like I think the three of us are great examples, music, academics, friends, jobs, everything. We do all of this, I would say, at least for myself, I do this pretty much on my own, and I'd rather it be that way. Just understanding that we are able to succeed on our own without constant like overwatch micromanaging and like almost like prying into our lives. They think it's just a great thing for parents to understand, even adults, that we can kind of like manage on our own. And I think that's, it's a part of like growing up and stepping into our own worlds.
And what about the fact that, I love that. I love that you said that. And I also recognize that that system and wonderful thing that is really working for you exists within a family.
Yeah.
And so there are maybe siblings or, you know, maybe there's like negotiation with who gets the car when. So how can parents both respect that and give you that independence and autonomy to make those choices and also help you as teens see that you don't live in a vacuum and that there are other people with other needs around you?
I feel like to create this like kind of independence that Mark is talking about, but then also have a lot of like clear like what you're doing between the parents and the teens, it all really centers around communication. Because if teens know what parents are doing and parents know what teens are doing and everyone just knows what everyone is doing, it just makes it so that there's less like bumps in the road. Like you're not going to get messed up because like, oh, someone took the car, but you needed it to go to work, like that kind of thing, just because you'll have already planned that out. And something that we do in our family is every Sunday we have like a family meeting, right? And we go through the week and we say, okay, I have this event this time on this day. Is this a conflict for anyone else? Like, does anyone need the car then? Can I take it? Okay, great. And then we move on. We just keep going through the week. And so by pre-planning and having this like clear communication about what we're doing, it just really creates like a smoother lifestyle for all of us. We're just able to live our lives how we want to, get all of our things done. And there's just like less like hiccups in the way.
And that came out of an experience where we mixed something up and we actually got a text from you in your concert shirt and we were saying, why is Sam in his concert shirt? Rehearsal's tomorrow night.
Yep.
And then
we checked
and it was
tonight.
In half an hour.
Yep. And I was going to a birthday party at that same time. Yep. Yeah.
So thank you for texting us that day with a picture of yourself in your concert shirt. Mm-hmm. And that was what really, it was a mistake that ended up being like pretty much the best thing that could have happened because we never miss that family meeting now for the most part. And it has made a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So thank you, Sam. You saved her butt that day, and you also reinforced the importance of family meeting at the Choi household. So, for any adults that are listening, what do you want to tell them? What's the most important thing that adults need to know about teens and conflict?
I would say that teens are not bad people. And I feel like there's this narrative, and it's probably been emphasized by like media or just like hearing like stories on the news where it's like, oh, this teen did this. But like in general, teens are just, they're trying to be good people. They're trying to just be the best person they can be. But I feel like because there's this like stereotype that we're always like up to no good or like, we don't want to succeed or something like that, there's this suspicion that we're not going to be okay, like left on our own or like to our own devices, like that we won't be able to succeed and do well. But I really think that as you grow up and you have this more freedom, you learn how to do it by yourself, and you learn how to do it like in a good way and, you know, like be helpful to other people and to your community. And I think adults should just really understand that like we're trying our hardest and we're trying to be good people, you know. It's just, of course, it's like our first time doing this, as it is your first time being a parent. And you just have to understand that like sometimes mistakes are made, but we're just trying our hardest, you know.
That's a really great point. I think another thing I would say is let teenagers be until there's a reason to not let them be. I think it goes back to the idea of like self-sufficiency. Unless there's like a reason, unless there's a screw up that really warrants something needing to be taken away or consequences for actions, I think just kind of letting them like do their own thing. And I think most of the time teenagers will self-regulate. Like most of the time it's like, if I get tired when I'm out, I'm just going to go home. And there's like, there's no other reason for it. And I think having this like strict deadline by the time, and it's also, there's like, there's a feeling in households of like when you need to be out. It's like the host is like, okay, well, you can start feeling like the energy starting to go down. It's like a time to leave. I think it's understanding that we as kids, we kind of were able to read rooms. We're able to kind of do our own things. And unless there's like an absolute necessity and like a safety, if we're safety, obviously, or if we're putting ourselves in danger or others in danger, then there's a reason to step in. But I think for most of it, I think it's just letting us kind of figure ourselves out as we're, again, it's like, as I said, we're living life for the first time. We're only going to be teenagers once, so we might as well kind of figure it out.
I think something that parents should do is that I don't think they should expect our childhood to look like theirs, because we're growing up in a completely different time with completely different opportunities and things that we could do. And sometimes with my parents, they've talked about these things that they did, which I never did, and it's back then I didn't even know people did. But sometimes, because I know that my parents had grown up very independent from a very young age, like much younger than I had, and they sometimes expect things that I do, which I'm just starting to do now, that they had been doing for years at my age. And I think sometimes it's a little bit unfair, because we're growing up in a time with just different guidelines, different societal norms. It's just overall, it's not going to be one-to-one. It's going to be very different.
Yeah, that's so important to remember. And it's hard to remember, and it is really important. So I think the sort of overarching theme that I'm hearing is that if parents and other adults could work really hard on trusting teenagers, then trusting kids from an earlier age, then it would improve relationships between teens and adults. Yeah. And I think that goes for any relationship, right? Regardless of the relationship, if you feel like you can trust the other person, then there's more room to make mistakes and more acceptance and less judgment. Yeah, great. All right, well, thank you for coming on the podcast. Do you have anything else that you want to add, or anything you want people to know?
Nope.
All right, well, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen. One thing that stood out to me from this conversation is how much of what they said connects right back to executive function skills. Whether it's managing your emotions during a tough conversation, remembering to see things from someone else's perspective, or thinking through consequences before reacting, these are all skills that take time and support to develop. And that's also the key takeaway for me. Teens want to be trusted to learn this. They want the space to make decisions, to be heard, and to handle more responsibility. And they also need adults to meet them halfway with respect, honesty, and support while they're still building these skills, right? We're all works in progress, as we said. And how wonderful that we got to learn this directly from these guys today. If you have any thoughts, please share them with me via email at podcast@beyondbooksmart.com. Thank you for helping us spread the word about executive function skills. We appreciate you sharing Focus Forward with your friends and your colleagues. Don't forget to rate us wherever you listen, and leaving a written review on Apple makes a big difference for us, so please do that. You can sign up for our subscriber email at beyondbooksmart.com/podcast. A million thanks to Sean Potts, my editor and producer, and to Eliza, Mark, and Sam for their time and brilliance, and to all the people in the world who know that teens are not menaces to society. Thanks for listening.